You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It's 7:37 in the morning, Monday the 23rd of March. Just turning our attention to what's been happening on the international front. According to the Financial Times, the Tokyo 2020 Olympics could be postponed by up to 2 years as the Japanese government and games organisers responded to worldwide coronavirus lockdowns and mounting pressure to delay the world's biggest sporting event. Now, we are also running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you what should happen to the 2020 Olympic Games. Should it continue as planned? Should it postpone to next year? Should they just cancel it? Or, you know, tell us, what do you think?
Because, you know, in recent days, we have had news where the IOC President Thomas Bach and Japanese ministers have been holding crisis talks on how to respond to this global pandemic. And even while remaining adamant that the Games would take place as planned this summer, and according to the Financial Times, the two sides have reached a gentleman's agreement not to cancel the Games.
So, and they're now engaged in discussions about the length of a postponement. So yesterday, following an executive board meeting, the IOC reportedly said a final decision on postponement was premature because the situation in Japan has improved and it may not make a formal decision for another 4 weeks. So for more on this morning we have on the line with us Jonathan Berkshire Miller, Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Jonathan. Tell us why, first of all, has Japan been so reluctant to cancel the Olympic Games? Because we have had seen calls for either a postponement or a cancellation for several months now.
Well, thanks. I think there's two main drivers for it. And I mean, first, contextualizing just all the hard work that goes into securing this Games from the campaign period, from the design, construction of that campaign. I mean, this is a multi-year and sometimes a multi-decade preparation approach. So I think that's one element. But I think the two most crucial elements here, one is on the political side and one's on the economic side. On the political side, we see the government of Shinzo Abe, the prime minister in Japan. And if you think he now is Japan's longest serving modern-day prime minister, and his third and final term is supposed to end in 2021. So next year. So I think that the Olympic Games was very much seen as a crowning moment for him, sort of a legacy moment in political terms. So I think there's a lot of reluctance on the part of him and his administration to have this sidelined. And I think that dovetails into the second reason why I think there's so much reluctance. And I think that's on the economic side. If you think just back to earlier this year, Japan raised its consumption tax from 8% to 10%. And that, along with the shock, obviously, now with what's happening with COVID-19, has created very difficult economic conditions in Japan. And if Japan, the estimates, it's hard to really put a number on how much Japan would be affected economically if the Olympics were to be canceled or postponed. But some put that figure at between $10 and $15 billion U.S. So I think these are very significant reasons why the Japanese are wary about where things will go.
And aside from the postponed economic stimulus, what does this mean for all the preparation already done? Like you said, they've already spent quite a fair bit of money.
Yeah, I think, there's some considerations here. I mean, one of them, I think, is the insurance. So I think that there's the insurance for any sort of cancellation of these big events. And depending on who cancels, whether this is done at the insistence of the IOC or whether it's the Japanese side reaching out, I think there's some kind of horse trading going on behind the scenes on that. But also, if you think of all the venues that Japan has created in Tokyo, the city of Tokyo is also invested in. For the Olympics, some of those are meant to be, and most of those, in fact, are meant to be dual use. So they're meant to be used after the Olympics for condominiums, for business, and other elements. So having a postponement, depending on the length of that postponement, you have if it's 2 years later, then you have 2 years of idle use of these very expensive properties that have been expended for this. So I think there's a lot of considerations like that.
Now, Jonathan, Japan is also only announcing a stimulus package in April. Will that be too late? And what are your expectations for it?
Yeah, so I think the stimulus package largely is focusing on the coronavirus impact. But I think, if the Olympics are canceled as well, that will probably be factored in as well. So I think it's going to be, from all signs, going to be quite a significant package. You're looking at 30 trillion yen, which would be hovering around 300 billion U.S. dollars. The way that I think Japan wants to structure this is not all to come from the central government, but to have the private sector funding about half of that. And I think that they're going to have to prioritize a number of different areas. I mean, some of the hardest hit areas from the corporate side in Japan are the small and medium-sized enterprises now that are really suffering under COVID-19 and all of many elements of their supply chain, including China and South Korea, also being affected by this. So I think those are some of the areas that Japan's going to be focusing on quite a bit, is trying to boost up those small and medium enterprises.
And Jonathan, you know, the infection rates in Japan seem very low. Is there a possibility of underreporting, or is it actually due to successful containment policies?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's kind of puzzled a lot of people looking at Japan's rates, because initially they were one of the first ones after China to start reporting infections, and they've remained relatively low. I think I don't have a final answer on that, but I do think there's a couple theories on it. I mean, one is that potentially that they've been able to contain those clusters that they've found quite well. There's other discussions that Japan necessarily hasn't tested, for example, to the level that South Korea has tested. So perhaps that there are a more significant number of infections, but Japan just hasn't tested to that period. And I think a third potential theory is that they just haven't found certain outbreak communities that are also existing. So it is a bit bizarre. I think it's puzzling a lot of people who are studying the spread of COVID-19 in a range of different countries, that Japan has been able to kind of keep such a hold of this. But I think those are some of the thoughts thus far on it.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, for speaking with us this morning. That was Jonathan Berkshire Miller, Senior Fellow at the Japan Institute of International Affairs. Now, as he says, I don't think this Olympics is really going to be the crowning jewel, the crowning glory that Shinzo Abe really anticipated, considering all of the hard decisions that they are now facing. Because if the Olympics are postponed by as far as 2 years, right, which is what the reports are currently saying, you know, that would take it squarely out of the purview of Shinzo Abe's tenure.
Yeah, this was supposed to be his crowning moment, right? His glory, like the end of his...
Go out with a bang.
Yeah, well, literally, it did go out, but not with a bang.
With the wrong kind of bang.
Yeah. I think I saw some Bloomberg headline just flashing by, and it said that Abe said that the safety of the athletes is a priority, which obviously makes some sense. But, you know, I don't know whether it will really be cancelled, actually. Mm. At this moment, there's no confirmation. Although it does seem kind of weird that you would want to have these games at these times.
Yeah, it does. But then what is the alternative, right? Because the Japanese economy is already suffering. You know, they've not had a very good few years. And they've spent, what, $26 billion on preparation for the Tokyo Olympics? They've been preparing for it for a decade at this point. So, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to wash all that down the drain or let it sit idle for 2 years, like Jonathan was saying?
I think if you ask me, they probably don't have much choice, right? Because otherwise, if you really prioritize the safety of the athletes, it would be strange to kind of say, okay, come now, it's okay, things are going to be all right. After all, we are already saying that we're not allowing big groups of people to kind of congregate. So unless you're having this option whereby just athletes play to empty stadiums, which is what some of the games have been doing, I think even that's been cancelled now, right? Like English Premier League, none of it is happening.
No, and you know, they were facing a lot of criticism, even from the athletes themselves, who were asking, you know, why are you still continuing with this? Are you putting us at risk by bringing us into, you know, and putting us at the mercy of all of these crowds with you don't know who's carrying what? And even, you know, as Jonathan was weighing in at the end there, even though Japan's numbers cases appear to be quite low, considering that they were a country that were infected quite early, you know, there are some doubts as to the veracity of those numbers, whether or not Japan's testing for the right thing, whether or not they've actually even managed to detect some of the clusters that have been happening in perhaps the far-flung rural parts of the country.
That's true. And all this uncertainty has kind of left the whole ecosystem in Japan in a bit of a bewilderment. So you have your question marks whether the number of infections is correct. And also just, you know, all the surrounding the game. So you've got businesses as large as like Coca-Cola, Toyota, Samsung, Google. They're supposed to be sponsoring the events. And they're ironically preparing for it, yet also bracing for potential cancellations. What I worry about is actually the SMEs, the small businesses, because this is something that they are looking forward to. And also they needed it, right? Because business was already slow as tourist numbers dropped off since Chinese New Year. So how are they going to survive?
Yeah, without the Olympics, you know, could we see Japan's consumption grind to a halt? I mean, because they did introduce the consumption tax hike just at the end of last year, and they were counting on the Olympics to try and revitalize their economy. Without that, you know, what is going to happen? Now, we have also been running a poll on this on the BFM Twitter account, asking what should happen to the 2020 Olympic Games. Of the 220 votes we've received, 75% said postpone to next year, 19% said just cancel it, 4% don't know, 1% continue as planned. Now, up next, we're going to be discussing water and policymaking in conjunction with World Water Day, with analysis from Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, former Minister for Land, Water and Natural Resources. So be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.